Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back to Three Men for Thee. We are so excited to have our listeners back with us again today, and we hope you continue to listen to our previous podcasts. Tonight, we are excited to have with us Pastor Dima from Ukraine. Pastor Dima, could you tell us what brought you to the United States?
Hello. As you know, my name is Pastor Dima. I am a pastor for almost 20 years in Ukraine, and right now I am in the USA with a mission. My mission is to serve Ukrainian businessmen with Troika, and I do it for a couple years, and I think it's an excellent vision.
Well, for our listeners, and for me, quite frankly, could you explain what Troika is?
Yeah, I can explain you, but first of all, I must to say sorry for my English. My English not very deep, but I will try to speak you in your language. Okay, Troika. Troika and serving to our Ukrainian businessmen. This is a wonderful vision. In Ukraine now, we are looking for new method, new way, how we can share gospel to our Ukrainian citizens. And one of those methods we used incorporated with Troika is as a serving to our Ukrainian businessmen. We teach them principles of successful business. Our Ukrainian partners, our English partners, American partners, our American partners do this very well. They teach them marketing, financial, HR, and other subject. And when they finish their teaching, they invite them, our Ukrainian partners, to United States. And right here, we have very good opportunities to share gospel with our friends. For example, for last 2 days, I did it maybe 3 or 4 different times. It was very interesting conversation with our Ukrainian unbeliever businessmen, how we can do business with God's values. And besides it, we can speak about Jesus and about gospel.
Very interesting. Now, I'm always interested in finding out, particularly from people from other countries, because it fascinates me so much how our Lord works in various different ways. How is it that you came to Christ?
Oh, it was an interesting story because I came to Christ before difficult, hard time in my family. Before I was married, I heard gospel from my grandmother, but it doesn't work in those times. But after my marriage, when I was a little boy, my father was alcoholic, and he leaves our family, and I grew up in not full family, and all my children age, I dreamt to have full family, strong family, but I don't have an example. And when I was married with my wife Natalia, it happened in 1992, maybe in a couple of months, our family was very, very bad condition. Sometimes we live in different homes. Sometimes we didn't speak one another. We don't speak maybe 3, 5, 6 days. Sometimes our scandals heard of all our neighbors. So it was very bad times, and I almost lost my hope to have good family. But my relatives who prayed for me, in March 1993, invite us to Billy Graham evangelism event. He was in German, but he had translation to different countries, and Ukraine was in this country's list. It was, I remember very good, because in this day we had big conflict in our family. We didn't speak, but we had this invitation. It's a small invitation. And we go to this program, this event, without goals, just for our relatives. We sit in somewhere in the last chairs, but gospel through this by Billy Graham was very, very powerful in those evening, this night. And we repent together. And
both you and your wife.
Yes. We had struggles, battle inside our hearts, but you remember, we don't speak between us. And everybody goes to repent separated. After this night, when we go home, we go without words, because our conflict continued. Mm-hmm. Yes,
wasn't resolved yet.
Yeah, but this guy who was our, I think maybe, counselor there, or maybe helper, I don't know, this volunteer from this program gave us a card with invitation to Bible study group, and we go to this Bible study group. We start to teach Bible, and this book, right now I understand, God by this book, through this book, change our hearts. Wow. And heal our family.
Wow.
And in a couple years, when we had very big problem with kids, different doctors tell us we have no zero chance to have children. But our church, because we start to go to church, pray for us, and right now we have mature children, and right now we are grandmother and grandfather for 1 year.
Wow.
God made a big miracle for
us.
Wow.
That is an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that with me and your listeners. Now, our listeners, now let me ask you this. As you were relating your story, you mentioned that it was your grandmother's influence and prayers.
Yes.
Now, were your parents, your mom and dad, were they unbelievers? Were they communists?
They wasn't communist, but they was unbelievers. As I mentioned before, my dad was alcoholic, and he leave us, our family, when I was 3 years old. And my mother, she tried to find another man. Sometimes she likes to drink alcohol too. And I was very alone. And I dream about full family, and only because I repented, I have full family.
Now, did you have brothers and sisters in the home?
No, well? I was alone.
Oh, you were the only child.
Yes, yes, I was only child, and I think because of this, my father start drink alcohol, maybe in couple months after I was born, and mother don't want to have another child with him. So yeah, I was.
Now, how many children did you and your wife have now?
You know, we dreamed about more children, but God gave us only two. We tried to have much more, but it was unsuccessful. And I understand, so it was God's plan for us.
So I'm going to share with our listeners, I've had several opportunities when I was in Ukraine to visit Pastor Dima's church. And I remember the first time that I went in, you could just feel the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is look at the people that are sitting in the church pews, and you can tell where their attention is focused. And it was focused on every word that was being said from the pulpit that day. The music was captivating. And by the way, Pastor Dima is also a musician as well. He plays the guitar and he sings. He does so quite well, I might say. So not only does he lead his church with the Word of God, but he also leads his church with the music of God as well. And over the years that I've had the opportunity to visit twice now, I can just see how God is working in the church and how the membership is growing. And Pastor, would you just share with us about your congregation and give us some information about your congregation?
When I repent and came to Christ, I never think I will be server, God server, or pastor. It was something strange for me. But you know, our God is very, very powerful God. When he calls, you can chance to say no. Because I said no a couple times, but it was exactly like with the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. I was a businessman. I had good, successful business, and when God started calling me to be a pastor of new congregation, it was very strange calling for me. I thought, I am not only businessman, I am Christian, I have a ministry, I was a youth leader in our church. Why God called me to do something another, something different? But God did this many, many times through different ways, and finally I understand. And in 1999, in August, me and seven another young people from our church, we start new church in our city Lviv.
You and seven people?
Yes, me and seven people. So right now our church is mother church for four another daughter churches in our city. One of those congregation, our daughter congregation, It's a church for blind people. And as a church, we think we must be a church with impact, with influence. We try to build church for our community, not church for church, church for community. And we try to build church as an answer, Christ answer to our people, to Ukrainians. We understand not Americans, not another nations, we as Ukrainians, we are responsible for our country. So we try to build church with impact, with influence.
Let me just follow up with a question. You talked about the church, working with the blind.
Yeah.
I was with you when we toured the industry for the blind here in Winston-Salem. What were your reactions from what you saw in terms of activities taking place there?
Well, my first reaction was our brother Vitaly. He is a pastor of our congregation. Must be there. Must have this excellent experience and example for our country, for our city. Because in our city, our blind congregation is, I think, maybe most poor people in country, in Lviv. I was there many times. It was a reason why we as a church start to help them, to serve them, because we saw very bad condition for living, for their job, for their work, and our heart was broken. And in one of our camps, this brother with his wife Ludmila, he repented and became Christ. And I understand this guy will our bridge between our congregation and our blind community. So your I called it ministry for blind people. It's something unbelievable for us.
I love the way you phrased that. You said that your church is not for your church,
yeah,
but your church is for your community, which I think that's so important. I wish that we here in America, at one time, our churches were the middle, were the center, were the focal point of the community. But unfortunately, we've gotten away from that. And it's a little hard to explain. It maybe gets into a lot of details. But be that as it may, over here, about 30 years ago, we had a very strong movement amongst our churches, feeling that the government schools, we could see them really beginning to become a problem. And now we have seen where our government schools have really become just a cauldron of fostering unbelief, mocking of God, leaving God out of everything, pushing the lie of evolution and all of that. So our churches here began to form a very strong nucleus of Christian schools in churches. And the church that Herb and I go to has a very good, very strong Christian school. Do you all do the same thing in Ukraine?
When I was in your Christian school, it was second excellent experience for me. Because in Ukraine, we try to do the same. And we try to do Christian school, but school for community. And we have one school. We have only four classes, first classes there. We dream to have big building for this school. Because we have very big need for school like this. School, I think many of Troika member was in this school, but right now we have very small numbers of them. Praise the Lord, our government, a couple years ago, they make a special law. And this law, first of all, in our history, Ukrainian history, gave us permission to start those churches, schools from church. Church have a permission from government to start church schools, Christian schools. But right now we may be looking for another facility, for a big facility for this school. And just pray for us. I think God has plans for us to be school, to be church who make in Christian schools.
Pastor Dima, we will continue to pray for you and your church, and that God's perfect plan for your growth will visualize. And we want to remind our listeners to tune back in to part two as we continue this dialogue with Pastor Dima from Lviv, Ukraine, and all the wonderful things he's doing to help spread God's word. So, listeners, don't forget to tune in to part two.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.